it says that he had to wait for Michael to come and help him. So that's why he threw them away. That can't be Jesus. He wouldn't need Michael's help. But just put your car in park here for a second and consider God has his reasons for limiting himself. Like I said, he's limited himself. The very first time you sinned, he could have just gone, but he didn't. And we cannot even number the ways that God has limited himself, withheld judgment, that sort of thing. And then you go back and read sometime, if you haven't lately, Genesis 32, 24-32. He wrestled, not rested. He wrestled all night with Jacob. And you don't think he... Did he have to wrestle all night? Jacob couldn't, you know... God couldn't have just gone, you know... At the end... He showed what he could do. He touched the sinew in his thigh. And that's why, to this day, the Jews won't eat that part of an animal. And he limped the rest of his life from that. He went, boop, and it, yeah. And he limped the rest of his life. Jacob limped the rest of his life. Yeah, Dorian? Yeah. But that angel, he... At the end says, I've wrestled with God. And who is he wrestling with? It was Jesus. Pre-incarnate. They call those Christophanies, where Jesus showed up before he came as a babe. So there you go. And then Jesus doesn't unleash his power until Revelation 19. So you have some dilemmas, but the real answer is, God, his thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. And this, I'm not telling you, you have to accept this or think this way, but this is how I think. God knows everything. I, in His presence, I am just a nincompoop. I have no knowledge compared to God. And just think of how, that's true. Like I said, you don't have to go around saying that, but it's true about everybody. All of us. None of you, including Stephen Hawking. He is not all that. That was my imitation. He died and went to hell, according to his profession, because he thought he was smarter than God. Carl Sagan, Albert Einstein, Lucifer. The greatest minds who have ever lived. Lucifer is probably right way above any of them. And you just think about that. But how many people do you know? I know people who, even compared to me, are stupid. And that's saying something. And yet they think they're smarter than God. And they think that they've got it figured out and God's wrong. Their opinion, that's the way it's going to be. That Bible, nah. Just think about the audacity and stupidity of that. So, when I come to this, I'm telling you, I kind of think it is Jesus. But I don't think it's something that I don't think it requires us to take this strong stand and say, this is Jesus, and if you don't like it, get out. We're going to start our own denomination. It's not anything like that. But isn't that interesting to think about? Daniel 10:14. Says, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Again, it's all about Israel. It's not about the church. The church is not in the period of time prophesied about, which is the 70th week, which is the time of Antichrist. We call it the Great Tribulation. It's all about Israel. Verses 15 through 17 says, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb.
I love that.
He's just like, I'm just going to sit here and be quiet. And every one of these arrogant people who think that they're smarter than God, when they stand before that great white throne, that's what they're going to do. They're all going to hit the ground. They're not going to smart off. I mean, you know, Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins, all these atheists, loudmouth Bill Maher, all those people. They're obnoxiously arrogant, but when they stand before Jesus Christ, they aren't going to run their mouths. They're going to do exactly this. Verse 16 says, "And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips." See, there it is. That's an angel. And every time you see an angel, he's not got these big flapping wings, you know. And it says he's a man. He looks like a man. And I don't think, you know, there are no women. Which is why touched by an angel is so goofy. But it's also why if you just do a search, first of all, if you do a search on angels, I learned this the hard way a few years ago, put your safe search on. You do a search on the internet for angels, you get some really lewd stuff. But then even if you put your safe search on, a lot of the pictures and depictions of angels, even by Christians, they're effeminate, sensual, revealing, weird. Just weird. It's like, I feel that way about, you know, you see the big news this week. Big, you know, hard-hitting news story this week. Should have done this in the current events. Which one is it? Miss America is no longer going to have swimsuits. I know some of you are heartbroken over that. But when I was younger, people would watch that stuff, and I'd watch it, and I thought, this is weird. You got all these women up there like a bunch of cattle being herded in. They need to add sound effects like that. You got all these women in their bikinis, like you'd look at a cow and say, oh, look at the rump on that thing. That's going to make a good roast. And these almost naked women, and they're all up there doing their thing and everything, and you're picking someone to be Miss USA or Miss America, whichever, Miss America, based on how they look in a bikini? How weird is that? Well, to me, though, it's even more weird now. They're not going to have the bikini thing. What's the purpose? Because you're just going to have a bunch of girls. No offense, but most of them are young and they just haven't really taken the world seriously. And they're going to up there and wax eloquent on politics and on world events, world situations. What do you think? You know, every one of them. What do you want to do with your life?
I want to work for world peace.
And how are you going to do that?
I want to paint pictures. And I think if I paint pictures of peace, the world will look at the pictures and they'll want peace.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's what... So anyway, that's kind of the thing going on with angels. Why would you paint an angel and make it look like a chick who is built like Miss America in a bikini? A lot of times it looks like they're in a bikini with big wings. I mean, and sometimes it's by people who are professing Christians. I expect the world to act like that. It's just weird. Because then and you're like, do you ever read your Bible? You can go from Genesis to Revelation, you'll never find an angel that looks like that. But it appeals to people's flesh. Yeah, Victoria's Secret. I wouldn't know from experience, but I'll take your word for it. Yeah, Doug?
Didn't you sell the beauty contest goes all the way back to Esther, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what was... I don't know if she was in a bikini, but it was Miss Persia, though. It was a Miss Persia contest. And Ahasuerus was like, so what do you want to do with your life? And Queen Esther said, I just don't want all the Jews to be killed, you know. So anyway, it says, then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Verse 17, for how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. It's funny, this is like the third time where he's describing how he's just totally overwhelmed by what he's experiencing here. And again, the angel appears as any other son of man. And again, Daniel is dumbfounded. Verses 18 and 19 says, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man." There's another angel. And again, he's a man. And he strengthened me. Verse 19 said, and said, "O man, greatly beloved, fear not." Second time it's called greatly beloved. "Peace be unto thee, be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." This is interesting. Where angels possess healing powers. And just think about this. This is just food for thought. We're going to be like the angels. Jesus said, we'll be, or 1 John 4, or 3, 1 through 3, says we will be as He is. But Jesus said we will be as the angels. Now you say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm just floating this as a fact. If we're going to be as the angels, wouldn't it be interesting if during the millennium, at least some of us have that as a job? The people on earth living here are going to be just like you and I are now. They're mortal. And they're prone to accidents. They could fall. They could... who knows what? Could be guns and they're shooting and somebody gets accidentally shot or something. Who knows? Life in the millennium is going to be a lot like it is now, only a lot different. I know that doesn't sound like it makes sense, but it does. Now, wouldn't that be something if some of us have that job where if someone gets hurt, we show up and we do exactly what we just read? They touch him and heal him and strengthen him. That's just something to think about, because that's what happened there. And verse 20, read that with me. "Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia." Look at that. Are you reading it with me? Read it again. "Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." We're talking about angelic warfare here. War among the angels, both good and bad. And that's the kind of thing I believe is going on all the time. But we don't see it because there's all these dimensions and we're stuck in between here. But I believe the angels are out here. So we don't see and hear things. But we will. In our glorified state, we're going to see all the angels and all that they do all day long. And then we'll also see all the saints who are glorified and all they do all day long. Something. I just love the thought. And think about this. When you think about whether this is Jesus described here, generals fight, but they lead the troops and rarely engage in combat. You know, if you read about General Lee and General Grant, and, you know, of course, there's all kinds of others, but those are the two leaders of this during the war between the states, the Civil War. And you'll read the battles fought by Grant, the battles fought by Lee. They didn't actually get down and, you know, fight. They were the generals. And so that could be the use of language here about Jesus. Is the reason Jesus, on a much more grand divine scale, but the reason why Jesus waited for Michael to come in and do the work is because Jesus, He's far greater than any general. And so He goes, and when there's battles, the angels come in and do the fighting. That's something to think about, isn't it? So verse 21, last verse, and we'll take a few questions. We want to break it down into two parts. It says, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth." Now, look hard at that. This is the angelic messenger. But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. He's talking about the Bible as though it's already written, but on earth it's not. What he shows Daniel wasn't in the Bible yet. But he says it's noted in the Scripture of truth. How is that? Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Think of that. He is showing Daniel what's already in the Word in heaven. But it's not on earth until after this. And it's actually not readily available until after the apostles. And he says, it is noted in the Scripture of truth. That's an amazing phrase in that verse. Then the verse ends, and the chapter ends, and verse 21 says, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael. How's he say it? Michael what? Your prince. Not Daniel per se. It's the Jews. Michael is the prince of Israel. Think of that. Now, Michael's mentioned by Jude. What's he doing in Jude? He's getting the body of Moses, a Jew. The founder of the Mosaic nation. And he is getting his body from Satan. And instead of him saying, even Michael the archangel, instead of him saying, I bind you in the name of the Lord, and he says, the Lord rebuke you. And he takes the body of Moses. And here, it's all about Israel. He's mentioned here. He's only mentioned one other time in Scripture, and that's in Revelation 12. How many of you remember what was in Revelation 12? You remember that? Remember the woman with the stars, which represented who? Israel. Revelation 12 is about Israel being rescued in Petra. That's Michael. Michael's going to be the ground troop. The general is Jesus. But Michael's going to lead the charge for Israel. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. All right. Doreen, you got a question?
I'm just now starting to read the Bible. And I'm an atheist now, so I haven't gotten to it. So, is Michael a good angel?
Yeah, Michael is the angel, as we said, the prince of Israel. Gabriel is the only other angel named in the Bible. Both Michael and Gabriel are good angels. And then the other angel, they'll say the other angel, but Satan was Lucifer. And he wasn't an angel exactly, he was a cherub. So there's a difference there.
But you said,
yeah. When Moses died, here's my theory about that, is the reason why Satan wanted Moses' body was because he knew that if he could get that body and bury it and turn it into some kind of shrine, you would have had idolatry. And the proof of that is, for example, the brazen serpent. They kept that and turned that into an idol. And Hezekiah later busted it into dust because people were offering incense to it. And so that's why I believe God sent Michael to secure the body of Moses. That's one reason. Another reason is because God wasn't done with Moses, and Moses shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah, who went up in a chariot, and Moses needed his body. And then I believe that the two witnesses in Revelation are Moses and Elijah. And they'll have their heads cut off, and then they'll put their heads back on and be raptured and all kinds of wild stuff.
Have
record of it. Anybody else? Kim?
Do you think people have real visions today? And if so, it's very awesome. Like, do you remember this young lady, David Wilkinson? He had a book out, I think, in the 70s called The Vision.
Yeah. It's, A, I do believe that God can give people visions and dreams today. I think it's ludicrous to put him in a box and say he can't do that. And I have to say that I had, on more than one occasion, dreams that gave me a heads up and things turned out the way God warned me in the dream. But it was for me. That's why I don't put stock in people like the David Wilkersons who put out books. Because I believe that Scripture bears out that, like, when an angel comes to you, when an angel came to Mary to tell her about Jesus being born, they didn't go around telling her by that. It got in the Bible. But the message from that angel was for Mary and Joseph. And then, of course, he had a message for Zacharias and Elizabeth. But they didn't go around trumpeting it. It ended up in the Bible. And after the fact, we've read about it. So it goes both ways. If God wants to talk to you through His Spirit, almost always it'll be through His Word. But I will not say He doesn't give people visions and dreams. But if what you have in a vision or a dream goes against this book, then you know it didn't come from God. There's where a lot of these charismatics who put out these books, and you read them, you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't weigh with Scripture. So, you know, they either made it up or they could have been given a delusion, a deceptive vision by a false spirit. I can't judge that. But anybody writes a book about a vision. One of the people I first heard teach this when I was first saved is John Hagee. And of all people, he said he had a woman come down in church when they were having, you know, their time of prophecy and all this stuff. Woman said, I have a message from the Lord for you, Pastor. And he said, well, praise the Lord. Tell him where I live, and if he wants to talk to me, I'll meet him there. And he cut her off. Why? Because that woman isn't God's messenger. If God wants to talk to John Hagee in a vision or dream, then he'll talk to John Hagee. I'm not endorsing Hagee. I mean, he's got plenty of issues. He's pro-Israel. I'll give him credit for that. But I don't endorse his ministry. But that was true. Credit where it's due. And I heard that as a very young Christian. That was very helpful to me. I had a woman come up to me in church. I've told this before. Some of you might have heard it. She said, you're the preacher, aren't you? I said, yeah, I am. She said, I knew. Because when you walked in the door, there was a glow about you. And I said, well, it could be the sun off my head, you know. I don't let that stuff get to me. I don't know. And sometimes people do that stuff and it's just flattery. And the Bible has something to say about flattery. Yeah. Yeah. She looked it up and ran the references. Not once is flattery given a positive light. So, Dorian? Or Doug? Which?
I just had a comment to say that a lot of people want to get out of situations. And Daniel was a kind that stayed his course.
Yes.
And he didn't pray for, just get me out of it.
Yeah.
If you're my God, you get me out of my situation, and then I'll trust you.
Yeah.
He trusted God and he didn't throughout the course.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. Yeah.
That's why I mentioned him at 90 years of age, and you're talking about a faithful man. Faithful. He was human, and I'm sure he had his moments, but he was faithful and he trusted the Lord. Great example. Anybody else? Jenny.
Do you think that it could be Jesus in the first part of the chapter and then the angel starting at like the first time? Is there a paragraph change? I guess. Is it possible?
Well, there's more than one there. You'd have to, you know, you could do a little bit of charting and show where it's Jesus or one of the others, but For example, there's two places where the two different angels that aren't the first one. So it's not Jesus there. Yeah. It says, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man in verse 18. And then before that, verse 16. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of man touched my lips. Those are two different in addition to what we had seen earlier. Yeah. Well, you're looking at the little paragraph mark. I don't always put a lot of... Yeah. True. Yeah. Charlie, do you?
So, on the Ark of the Covenant, are those cherubs?
Yes. Yeah. Six wings. Yeah.
So Lucifer has...
That's what Lucifer was, though. He was a cherub.
There would have been three then.
Well, none that... It does. What, the way it indicates is that Lucifer had his own throne, and then decided that wasn't good enough. He wanted God's throne, but he was a cherub. But it doesn't say he sat at the mercy seat. But Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 is where we get all of our information about Lucifer. Yes. Yes, they have wings over their eyes, wings here, and wings over the feet.
And that's in Isaiah chapter 6, where it talks about and his training to build the temple.
Yeah, that's another reference about the cherub. Yeah. You do a word search on cherub and seraphim, are the two very interesting reading there for your Bible study. No, that's the creature in Ezekiel that isn't really given a name. Yeah, those are wild. Those are the ones that the History Channel tell you are UFOs. All right. Let's stand.
I'm going to try to start this in the right key here. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee,
the Lord make his face shine upon thee, the Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee,
the Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. Be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up,
the Lord lift up
his countenance on thee and give thee peace. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee.
Brother Doug, would you close our study?
Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful chapter.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.